Hello there, my name is Pastor Ashish, and I want to welcome you to the Seven Hills Church podcast. We believe a new story is possible in Yonkers and beyond. Each week, we share messages that are honest, hope-filled, and rooted in the way of Jesus for our modern world. We hope this message encourages you. Let's get to it.
I'm going to be reading from Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey over everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Also from Romans 10, verse 14 to 15. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. You may be seated. Oh, man. Happy birthday. Wow. Come on. This is amazing. Let's go. I can't believe it's been a year since Seven Hills has started and kicked off. If you're new here, you're kind of walking into a little bit of an atypical service. This is a service where we just want to celebrate a year since we've launched as a church. And so that's kind of the idea of today. It really is incredible. I want to share the story of how we really did not plan on planting a church. If I had life my way, I would be buried in a library somewhere, studying dead languages, you know, Semitic languages. And kind of the reason why is that my wife and I, Diane, we were college pastors within a varsity in Manhattan for a number of years. And then as we transitioned to pastoral ministry, the kind of question that we asked while we were in seminary, that's Bible school, is, Lord, are you calling me to do a PhD in Old Testament? That was the desire of my heart. My Old Testament professor had recommended me for one, and I was just like, man, this is what I want to do. I love teaching God's word, and I love learning dead languages, you know? And so languages that are no longer spoken is what a dead language is, by the way. And so we, you know, for years when we graduated seminary, I wanted to do it. My professor thought it was a good idea. And then Diane, who was pregnant with our first, was like, you know, we took a lot of risks. We went from having two paychecks to no paycheck and trusting God in seminary. And God was so faithful. And she was like, why don't we put this on pause and let's come back to this, you know? And so I was like, all right, you know, we're having a baby. We should, you know, this is what we should do. A couple of years go by, COVID hits, and we're talking about, you know, what do we do next? And I'm like, hey, like, what about that PhD? And then Diane's like, if you want to do it, let's do it. And I was thinking about a program in Scotland and in Princeton. And so she was like, we can move. We'll move our young family and we'll go elsewhere. And we just said, all right, Lord, if that's your will, let's fast and pray. Ask God to speak to us. And so we put our toddler at the time into bed. And then we sat at the edge of our bed and we both prayed, Lord, whatever's next, would you speak to us? We want to listen to whatever. We just sense that you're shifting the season, and we want to be sensitive to what you're calling us into. And I added a clause, which was, Lord, whatever's next, let someone on Facebook message me. And Diane's like, why did you add that? And I was like, let's just keep this fun. Let's see what the Lord will do, you know. And so, you know, first week goes by, nothing happens. Second week, third week. And finally, the last Tuesday of the month, I get a Facebook message from a pastor that I know, and he's like, reaches to me out of the blue, and I'm not on Facebook as much as I am on Instagram. And he's like, hey man, I was praying for you, and I just really feel led to ask, like, have you thought about church planting, you know? And I'm like, what an odd message, you know? Like, I'm like, what, you know, it doesn't say hello. And I tell Diane about this, and Diane's like, I think, isn't this what we were praying for? And I was like, you know, there's still a couple more days till the end of the month. Let's just wait it out and see what God will do, you know? And she had just had a lot more faith and foresight than I did. And so I kind of waited out for the next couple of days, and like nothing else happens. And I'm like, all right, like maybe I'll keep this in the back of my head. A couple of months later, there's a pastor and a mentor we talked to, and he encourages us to, you know, plant a church. And I'm like, really? Like, should we really be planting a church? And he's like, what does your wife think? And I'm like, plant a church. He's like, listen to your wife, you know? plant a church. So then we get into this like 3.5 year discernment process to see like, God, are you really calling us to plant a church? What does that look like? And inviting friends, mentors, just people to pray, discern alongside of us. God, how does our marriage need to shift? How does our family need to adjust to the idea of planting a church and really start to calibrate towards this kind of vision and this idea? And really, it's out of all that that God's called us to plant Seven Hills Church. And what I love about that is that God had this church in mind decades before this was even a thought. God knew in his wisdom and his knowledge exactly where each and every single one of you would be this morning, long before you saw it, long before we saw it. And God is just a God of, God is incredible, right? He's incredibly smart. This is theology 101. God is smart, right? And he just knows way more than we know. And I want to start with the why of why we're doing this. The reason why God has called us to plant this church is for, you know, within a 25-minute drive of Yonkers, there are over 2 million people. And the reality is that the vast majority of over 2 million people are spiritually disconnected from Jesus. And that looks like multiple things. That looks like you might have grown up with some kind of faith, whether Catholic or Jewish or some semblance of faith. You've gone to church and just not a part of your life anymore. Perhaps there's others of us who've like never explored Jesus and you're in a new age or another religion or just a very, very different spiritual background. So many people who are so deeply spiritually disconnected from God, and God's heart is to connect with them. God's heart is for every single one of the people. He knows every name. He knows every story. He knows every soul. And he knows the need of every heart. And it's really with that vision that God has called us to plant. And so that's who we're called to. We're called to love this region. We're called to serve. And we're called to build people in this region. And so I just want to give you a heads up on like what God is calling us to. And so this has been really an amazing year. I think about the, you know, so many things to celebrate. I think about the outreaches we've had. I think last fall we gave over like 300 backpacks. There was, you know, even a toy drive. Our church gave, you know, over 400 backpacks. I mean, really from the generosity of the church, there were local church planters regionally that we've supported, even nationally, internationally, we've supported ministries. We've given over, I think, $15,000 or so, like, you know, globally to continue to support ministries. But really, I love the ripple effects that God has started from here, right from this very room, right from this very space. And so I just want to share three invitations from the passage that we've read, from the two scriptures, that what I believe God is calling us to as we kind of build from year one. Here are three things I want to talk about this morning. The first is Matthew 28, right? Go and make disciples of all nations. The first invitation for us, our church, as we build on this foundation is to go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, right? Is to go. Every single one of us, we are called to go. Every one of us, we are called to go and to make disciples. That's the heart of the gospel. It really starts with people being willing to go. You know how much, so much of walking with Jesus is being willing to go, is to walk with Jesus, literally to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to continue to walk with you. Can you imagine if every single, like how different Yonkers would look, how different conversations in Bronxville would look, how different coffee conversations in Scarsdale would look, how different dinner in neighborhoods in the Bronx would look if people, if every single one of us, we carried that impulse that we were sent by Jesus. How different would our region look? How different would relationships look if we bought into that of going? Going not just to a person, but also this region, going and saying, God, we want more of you in this region. The second thing, the second invitation is to build. So going and then building. Again, this is year one, and this is a foundation that we've had, and really want to invite you to consider, what would it look like for me to be go from somebody who's been blessed by this church, or perhaps even, you know, you've been here for a little bit, to say like, man, I want in to help build at this church. I want to help build people. I want to help build teams. I want to help build, opportunities for people, other people to come and encounter Jesus. And that's really because I'll talk about the core team in a second and get a chance to even honor our core team a year ago. But that's really the way that we want to kind of pay it forward. We want to be blessed by this church and at the same time help build so that other people can come and encounter Jesus. I want to help build groups, and I want to help build relationships. I want to help build connections that other people can encounter God in the same way that we're encountering God. And the third piece that I want to talk about, and just one more thing over there, is that in terms of building the church, you know, our church will never be what the church is called to be if it's not for every single one of us going. If it's not for every single one of us, there are such incredible gifts in this room. There are such incredible, unrepeatable, every single one of your life is an unrepeatable life. I don't even thought about the wonder of that. And what would it look like if you were to say, God, I give you my yes, now what's the question? Right? It's a way of saying, God, I'm in. Whatever you want to do, here are my gifts, here's my talents, here's my abilities. Lord, use me how you want to use me. And I want to just step into that. And so what would that look like? How different would our church look like if you said, I want to be blessed by the church, but I also want to help build the church and the lives that are here. And finally, I want to invite you to consider, what would it look like if you made room? You know, the reality is, if you kind of look around this sanctuary, you know, we're starting to get, you know, pretty full, and it's quite literally, how do we make room? Like, how do we scooch in and, you know, make seating up a possibility? And really, I mean, we've just seen incredible growth in terms of people coming and encountering Jesus, you know, even kids coming. And we've gone from one room last summer to now about four rooms for kids to really kind of span out. And really, what would it look like if you made room in terms of, one, as a church, just preparing for what God wants to do this upcoming year? In what ways can you make room in your own home? In what ways might you open up your home to say, hey, we've got groups going, and this is the primary way that people build relationships with one another and also grow in God and community together? What would it look like if you were to say, God, I want to help build, and I also want to make room so that other people can come and encounter you? And so it's an opportunity for us to really join God in the new story that he's writing in Yonkers and beyond. And so again, those are the kind of three invitations. What would it look like to go, to build, and to make room? So this morning, typically, again, I said it's an atypical service to kind of teach on a particular passage. We're going through, you know, a series. But this morning, what I want to do is I want to create some time for storytelling. You know, in the Psalms, there's often this language of remember the works of the Lord. And that Hebrew word is the word zakar. And zakar is a word to remember, but it's also a word to recite. And the reason why there's kind of a double distinction is that, you know, the Old Testament, really for much of human history, you know, was an oral culture. And so part of only really in the last 500 years, you know, Gutenberg and on, you know, is there really printing, reading, mass literacy, right? All of this really happens in the last couple hundred years. But for most human history, part of how you would remember things is you would recite things. And so part of what the psalmist is inviting us is remember the works of the Lord is to recite the words of the Lord. In other words, the way to remember God's goodness is by opening your mouth and talking about it. And so what we want to do this morning is that we want to create space for us to kind of storytell what God has been up to. So I'm going to invite up Pastor Diane, who's going to come on up. And there are really so many stories of God moving in our church. And we just want to highlight just three this morning. And so I want to invite up Pastor Diane, and as we're going to share some stories this morning.
When Ashish was sharing about just the origin and the start of Seven Hills Church, one thing I remembered was that when we started started to tell people that this was an idea, a dream that God was giving to start Seven Hills, there were people that would message and show up just to say, listen, I've been praying for a church in Yonkers. I've been praying for a church for decades. I've even asked, we're part of the CMA as our denomination, I've even asked the CMA, can you send someone to Yonkers? And so just as an encouragement to you all that, yeah, sometimes it's easy to see the faces here, but there are people we don't even know. We've gotten emails from Florida, from random places in the U.S. of people saying, I prayed for Yonkers to have a multi-ethnic specific church. You know, there are many wonderful churches in Yonkers, but specifically people who had been praying. So we've been prayed for decades before we even arrived here. And so just an encouragement to you that some of you might be praying for things in this season, and that you're not going to see for decades down either. So just an encouragement there. So this morning, we're doing something different. We're going to tell some stories of what God has been doing here at Seven Hills. We're going to share some stories that loosely align with our exploring faith, becoming like Jesus, and doing what he did. And so we're going to have three stories all celebrating what God has done. So for our first story, I'm going to invite Daryl up, and Daryl's going to be our first storyteller here. So you can give it up for Daryl. So, as many of you know, one of our highlights here at Seven Hills, one of our emphases is that we really want to be a place where people can explore faith. And many of us are coming from different backgrounds. Some of us are from a church background, but many of us are not. We might not have been stepped foot in a church in decades, or we might just have never been exposed to the Bible, to Jesus ever in our lives. So Daryl's been on this journey over the last year, and we've all been part of it. We've all been able to celebrate with Daryl. So we're excited to hear a little bit about your faith journey today. So I'd love for you, Daryl, to share, how has your journey of faith been over the last year?
I guess the first thing I'm going to say is if I start crying up here, please, you know, yeah, you got tissue? Okay, it's ready. Because I think about it, I think about the story of Job, and one of the first things that happened in that, when his friends saw him, they cried with him for 7 days. They were men, so it's okay for men to cry, so remember that. So I guess the first thing that I'll say is, so I grew up going to church. My parents came here from Nigeria. We moved to Texas before moving to Queens, New York. And you know, we went to church. I didn't really understand what was going on. I'm just dressed nice. I'm walking into a building. I'm sitting down. I'm going to Sunday school. I'm doing these things, but I'm not really understanding the purpose of it. And then ultimately, my parents separated and then got divorced years later, and we just stopped going to church. So a lot of us, it's five of us, and I have four brothers and one sister, and we just kind of stopped going to church. You know, my mother would always tell me, you know, I'm praying for you, but I'm like, what does that really mean? Are you praying for me? And then even, of course I know she was, but then I would pray too, but I'm like, who am I praying to? My relationship with God was really transactional, so in the sense where I was always seeking his hand and not really his face. So it would be, oh man, I'm hungover. Lord, please help me. Please help me get over this in college. Or, oh man, I got to break up with this girl. Lord, please help me so it's not awkward when I see her on campus. So it was things like that. It was just very transactional in a sense. And then, you know, as time went on, you know, I feel like I've always been blessed. Like, things in my life have come very easy for me without, like, any true work of my own, you know. I went to school. I got a bachelor's. I got a doctorate. I became a professor. I became a pharmacist. I've done residency. All of these things have come very easy in my life, I feel. And I always knew that this was a power greater than my own. So one day, you know, I had this dream. I won't get specific of the dream, but I had this dream, and, you know, I felt like God was speaking to me in this dream, and he was calling me back, and he was telling me, basically, I kept having dreams with my mother coming to save me. I could talk to people about the specifics later if you want to hear it, but I don't have enough time, but I had this dream, and I woke up, and I'm like, I need to find a church. I need to find God. Where is God in my life now? So then I went to work, and I was talking to one of the MPs that I work with, and I'm like, I need a church. I need to find a church. And she was telling me about how her husband were looking for a new church. They drive like an hour to church now, and she gives me Seven Hills Church's flyer. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. I was like, I'm going to check it out this Sunday. She's like, I'm going to check it out too. Turns out that Sunday I was the only one that came. She didn't come. She stayed at her own church with her husband, and and I came, you know, I sat in the back there. I think it was Ash's parents that they greeted me as well. And when I left, Ash just met me at the door. I always talk about how I thought I was special, but then I always see him run to the door to meet other people. We had coffee, we spoke, and it was, from that standpoint, it was, you know, it was the beginning of the journey, you know. They gave me a Bible to read, and I was, and how over-analytical I am to have a study Bible was probably the best thing for me, because now I can read. I'm reading the Old Testament, and I'm like, where is Jesus in the Old Testament? Where is he in Genesis? Where is he in Exodus? Where is he in Leviticus? Where is he in all of these books? I want to know, you know, and to have those commentaries and things on the bottom, it was just the best thing for me, because now I can skip over to Romans and see what Paul says about Jesus and how he was the rock in Exodus that they got water from. So these are the things that I've been learning and have really been transforming my life. You know, I used to be very, you know, I think everyone can see I'm a loving person. I come in, I say hi, hey, what's up, y'all, what's up? I do all those things. But I really wanted to ensure that I was connecting with people and I was loving people and honoring people. And being here, that's one of the things that it really taught me as well, how to honor other people, how to support them, how to be in community. Because what I used to think community, what, am I going off? Okay. Because I used to just see community really as like authority in a sense, right? I'm going to church. Ms. Johnson's like, pick up your pants, do this, whatever the case may be. I'm like, man, I'm coming to this place and it's just like, you know, I feel like there's judgment. I feel like, you know, is anyone really pouring into me as a person to develop me? And when I came here, that was a really big difference. I had Pastor Ashes, I had Luis, I had everyone's always asking me how I'm doing, you know? And it's very great to hear. I'm very grateful for it at the end of the day. And I think I went off. I don't know, I think you have more questions.
I'll testify that Daryl's been in the Word. I think one day I was preaching from Exodus, and he came up after that questioning me from Numbers. I was like, who is this dude that knows Numbers? Like, I was like, he's reading his Bible. He's reading his Bible. No, thank you. And it's been a joy to watch you. I think many of us were here when Daryl got baptized and made that decision. And so, yes, it's been so fun to watch your whole journey over the last year. And I know there's been many different people you've highlighted who've been part of that journey. So thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
I have one more thing to say. So just a little, how am I on my 3 to 5 minutes? I'm good?
You're okay.
All right. I guess the other thing, too, is just like coming to faith in general. Like, I think that we have to understand this is not a work-based relationship. And that's what I used to kind of see it as. Like, you can start off very small. You don't have to start off large. You don't have to say, I'm going to read the whole Bible in 30 days. Like, you don't have to do that. Sometimes you could just take 5 minutes a day. So what I do is I usually take 5 minutes of silence, 5 minutes of prayer, at least 5 minutes of Bible reading every single day. And I was able to grow. I feel like it's been supernaturally in a sense in that way. So just taking that time. And then also being able to serve here has also been transformative for me too on hospitality. To come here, you know, a few weeks and greet everyone, help set up, and just to be involved, you know, I felt like, you know, I was on the bench here, you know, I'm on the bench and I'm trying to get in the game and I finally got in the game now, right? So, you know, put up some points, guys, get some minutes, sweat, get involved, you know? And another thing I was going to say is like, you know, we think that we're not being discipled by anything that we're watching, reading, whatever the case may be outside. Something is going to disciple you. Something will disciple you. So do you want it to be Jesus or Jehovah or Jehovah, Jay-Z? Like, do you want it to be the God MC or the God Jay-Z? JC? Think about it. JC or Jay-Z? Pick one, you know?
Thanks, Daryl. All right. Well, I'd love to highlight our next story. We're going to talk a little bit about becoming like Jesus, and we're going to have Christy up here. But before we hear from Christy, what I'd love to ask all of you is, if you could raise your hand high, if before you stepped in foot into church, into Seven Hills, how many of you found us first on social media, Instagram, Facebook, somewhere along those lines? Yes, look around. So that's the primary way that people have found Seven Hills has been through digital means. And Christy has been the person behind leading the team that leads behind our social media team. Yes. So what I love about that is Christy was actually the first person to find us on social media. And Christy's a social media influencer. And so... You might resist that title, I don't know. And she was the first person. I remember before we started or we had an active Instagram page, people actually asked us, because it was so dead, that people were like, is this church still happening? Because there was nothing on there. And so Christy has been such a gift to the church. And so what I'd love for you to share about is just what has the journey been like for you for leading the social media team, and how has God met you in that process?
Thank you. I would say I think I found the Seven Hills Instagram page, not last year, the year before. I don't know how I came about it, followed it, and I think I DM'd what is probably Pastor Ashish at the time, when is the church going to start, because I was looking for churches in the area, and he was like, next October. I was like, okay, cool, we'll monitor it, we'll see what happens. And last year at some point, I don't know, it was February, March, I happened to go to Ridgeway, because again, looking for churches. I had no idea Pastor Ashish pastored there as well, and after church, he has the whole like meeting you at the end, talking to you. And at this point, I signed up for the Seven Hills like interest meetings, and Pastor Diane, I think, emailed me 3 times, and I was like, I refuse to go to a place like by myself, like not gonna happen. And that Sunday, Pastor Ashish like talked to me, connected me with 2 people that actually go to church that I ended up going to college with, had no idea. And after that, I felt like, okay, I can go to Pastor Ashish's parents' house for an interest meeting. It did take a little bit to go by myself. But that was the Sunday where they were talking about teams and whatnot. And with experience from media and like social media, I was like, okay, I'll sit here, not thinking anything of it, which led to an invitation to dinner at Diane and Ashish's. And I didn't know what to expect. And somehow Pastor Ashish had found my Instagram page, which led to like, will you run our social media? And I was like, no, I don't think so, but I guess we'll see, which I think was like God in all of it, because looking for a church, not knowing what it would come, and like going to Ridgeway, not even knowing like the pastor was there, to now a year later, being able to run social media, managing a great team that has done great, whether it's the reels you see, the pictures you take every Sunday, it truly was God. I think it's like, as we talk about, it's like the selflessness and giving back and being able to connect with people like far and near. We've had people from London find our social media and come to service, to people all over. So I think it's been a blessing in my life to be able to give back in a way that I wasn't doing before this.
Yeah. Yeah, what I love about that is that there's so many unique gifts and ways that we can be part of what God is doing in the area. So I love that social media has truly surprised us as a wonderful means to meet people and invite people here. So thank you for serving, Christy. Thank you to the social media team that really runs all of that and makes that happen. So thank you again. So now what we're going to be sharing from is our final story. We're going to have Alicia come on up. Yeah. So it means a lot to me to have Alicia up here.
Don't make me cry.
No, I'm going to cry. when we first started, we were first having just a dream of starting Seven Hills. You know, like when you first have a dream or this idea, you don't know if you're crazy or if anybody's going to actually say yes. You know, it just feels like, how are we going to do that? What's going to happen? And so we invited Lewis and Alicia over and multiple times, and we told them this idea. Like, you know, we feel like God's leading us to plant a church. And there was one dinner where Alicia said, Alicia said, we're in, but I didn't believe it, you know? So I think we invited them over like 2 more times to ask the exact same question. And I think by the 3rd time, it like clicked in my head, like, oh, they're actually in. They're the first people to say yes to being part of Seven Hills. And it was a huge moment, because after they left, Ashish and I like stared at each other like, did they just say yes? It had already been 3 times, but it just took a long time. Like, did they really say yes? Because to us, they were like gold to have, you know, as the first people to say yes to and to believe in the vision before anyone else, you know? So it meant so much. So thank you for being here from the very, very, literally the first person. And so you've served in a number of ways, in kids ministry, in events and outreaches. You've done everything. What have you seen God do over the last year?
Yeah. Before I get into that, I just want to say a funny thing about saying yes to you guys and how we felt Lewis and I felt that was God's confirmation. We also started going to Ridgeway, and that's where we met Pastor Ashish and Diane. And I remember it was hard for me and Lewis for some reason to really connect at Ridgeway. And we were just kind of missing that community and that family. But we knew Pastor Ashish and Diane, and we loved them. We were like, okay, we're going to keep coming here because at least we've got two friends out of this whole big thing, right? We've got two friends we're going to see every Sunday and speak to. And I remember there was a Sunday that you guys were coming up. Ashish, you know what I'm going to say? That you guys were coming up, and I don't know, it felt like a goodbye or something. And Pastor Kevin was like, you know, we want to bring up Diane because we have an announcement, whatever. And I remember turning to Lewis and saying, if they leave, we out. If they leave, we are so out. Like, so I was so nervous to hear that. But then it turned out that you were just stepping up from full-time ministry at that point. But then we got the call from you guys to say, hey, do you guys want to come do this with us? So that was all kind of confirmation in a fun way. So I've been at Seven Hills from the beginning, and I think that I want to speak a little bit and kind of do a recap about do what Jesus did. And when we think about that, we know that it means how do we live like Jesus lived? How do we care and love and serve and build relationships with each other how he did when he was on earth? And if I take a step back and look at Seven Hills, I see so many parallels, right? So many great stories and things that have happened. But I think there's three resonating themes with me that have happened here. And the first is providing, right? Jesus provided the basic needs of the people around him. And through your generosity, through your time, your money, your resources, we have been able to do, I think, so much in the last year. Pastor Ash has mentioned this earlier, but I remember, you know, we have donated over 250 toys to local families in Yonkers. We've donated dozens and dozens of toiletry bags to women living in a rehabilitation center. And then just from a practical day-to-day need, we have served people. We've set up meal trains for new families. We've donated food to homeless shelters in White Plains. So we've done so much, and that's all, again, through your generosity, but also because you've allowed us to be God's hands and feet here. And so we're showing those people that God has not forgotten them, that he provides and that he loves and cares for them, right? So I think that has stood up, that has standed out for me a lot this year. I think secondly, teaching, you know, Jesus taught in a way that people understood, right? Whether it was a simple text or a parable, a story, he always made sure that they understood the truth that he was speaking. And I think that this church does such a good job on that. First of all, we have an amazing pastoral team who bring the word in such a powerful and spirit-filled way, but also in a really practical way. I think that we leave here on Sundays understanding how to walk with God day to day. Like, what are those simple, practical things? And a big shout out to Diane, because I feel like every time Diane speaks, it's a spiritual TED Talk. I feel she's so organized and so straight, and this is it, and this is what it means, and this is what... So I love it. I always tell Lewis, oh, we're getting a Diane talk today. So I love that, but it's great teaching. And then on top of that, we've had discipleship classes. We've had Pastor Ashish's midweek Bible lessons. And we've seen the fruit of that, right? Because I think we've seen people who want to grow in God, who are excited about, how do I do this Jesus thing? But then they take these classes and they commit, and we've gotten baptisms. We've gotten like 2 to 3 people get baptized after having these classes, which shows you that we're teaching in a way that people understand the truth. And then as a Sunday school teacher, I love my kids so much, and I see how they're growing every Sunday. And I see how the seeds are being planted in them, and they love their Bible stories. And I'm reminded of one student in particular who started coming to church new with his mom, never heard a Bible story. And I would see him just wide-eyed in the room, just listening and asking all of these great, curious questions. And that led us to gift him a Bible. And now he brings his Bible almost every Sunday. He's sharing it with the class. And when I'm teaching, he tells me, I know that one, I know that story, and he will finish it for me. So it's just been amazing to see, even from a small child, their faith journey and how God is meeting them. I think that has been so inspiring for me. So yeah, so it's provision, it's teaching. And then I think finally something that's resonated with me, and Daryl made mention to this a little bit, is community. I think that, you know, Jesus liked to have a good time. And Lewis is probably giving me the side eye, like, you better explain that. But it just, Jesus liked to have a good time. What you mean? No. So, you know, Jesus celebrated with folks, right? He went to that wedding. We know what we're talking about. He ate with people. He welcomed the outsider in, right? And so we see that. We have an amazing hospitality team who greet everyone in every Sunday. And I think through our event spaces, you know, we've provided the opportunity for people to come together, know one another, build relationships, grow in God together. And that's been so exciting to see. Personally, for me, I feel like so many great friendships have been birthed right out of this church, and opportunities to meet people that I think you wouldn't have otherwise. And I've been blessed by a lot of great friendships here, which I'm so grateful for. So when I think about that, it's like we're experiencing God's love through fellowship and through community. And that's something that I really treasure. So I think it's been a great year so far. And I think here we go year two, right?
Yes, it's been amazing. There's countless stories we could have picked from today. And so hopefully over the next few months and at our next celebration, which is on Thanksgiving, for around Thanksgiving, you'll hear even more stories of what God's been doing in people's lives. So three different stories, one amazing God who's been working in the lives of all these people and also through all of us. So I'm going to give it back to Pastor Ashish, who's going to celebrate and honor a few people here.
You know, one of the things I want to do is that I want to get a chance to honor a couple of different people, but I really do want to honor Pastor Diane. And so, you know, really long before we even launched, there were just years of Diane and I, after we put the kids to bed, that we would just work on stuff, like build out legal stuff, build out what groups are going to look like, build out, just start to dream and imagine. And I mean, really so much of like what we see kind of materialize today has been kind of like just hidden prayer and strategizing and just, you know, hours of being able to set it up. And so there's so much sacrifice I've really seen you make, babe, you know, towards the church, you know, in terms of leadership and insight. I mean, it's just been incredible. You know, the church would have been far more disorganized, you know, if it was just on my take. But one of the things I also want to say is that, you know, it takes a lot of sacrifice. I'll get into that in a little bit, behind even, you know, what we see in growth and things like that. But you know, this past year, we've seen incredible things happening at church. You know, on the home front, one of the things that's been difficult is that we had two miscarriages this past year. And the first one was exactly a year ago, the week before we launched the church. The beginning of the week, we were expecting, we go to the OBGYN, and by the end of the week, they're like, you know, it's not going to make it. And I remember, like, it was such, you know, the emotional piece of both on one side, the like just the beginning of something and then the end of something, to hold that intention. And for me, you know, it's been difficult, you know, and then even in the spring as well. And so, and really, like, Diane's really managed, you know, with the loss, you work a full-time job, you know, plus lead in the church, and just been a blessing to so many. And so whether it's putting the kids to bed after working a long day, and then I'm going to work on my sermon, or, you know, I'm going to work on groups, or I'm going to work on this particular, I mean, so much sacrifice, you know. And so I just want to honor you, and just to back into that. I love you. Is that God's good. We are expecting, and so we're having baby number three. Yeah. Grow. And so I think that's been one of the amazing things of, like, just see the redemptive arc of God over this past year, you know, of like the exact same week that we lost a year ago, you know, to be able to expect we're having a baby girl. So three in a row, come on. I'm in my Kobe era, you know. So and then really, I want to kind of build the foundation of this. I'd love to invite up our leadership team up. I want to get a chance to honor our leaders. So if you're on our leadership team, would you come on up? Seriously, like, come on up. Yeah. Give it up for our leaders. It's probably like the most unseen guy, right? This is Randy. Randy's our treasure. Jen, who leads hospitality, Alpha. Alice, who's been incredible administratively. Thank you so much. Danny, who leads worship. Man, we have Pastor Lewis, who teaches, disciples. Incredible. Alicia. Are you going to salute as well, Alicia? Are you going to salute as well? Just like Lewis gave me a salute, so. Married, by the way, just a heads up. And man, I'm so incredibly grateful. Where's Christian, by the way? Christian's right up there. He's like working. Christian, come on up here, bro. I want to get you a chance. And, you know, Bethany with kids, you know, is there as well. So I do want to honor and give her a shout out. But really, I mean, I'm just really so incredibly grateful, because every single thing you see is someone's decision. Like, someone putting up this mic stand was a decision. The reason why there's groups is a decision. The reason why there's graphics is a decision. The reason why there's food downstairs, it is someone's decision. And really, the collective decision-making, the collective wisdom, the collective sacrifice, both seen and unseen, of this leadership team is simply amazing. And so, the majority of the team have 40-hour jobs that they work, and then they just really serve their hearts out for the church. And so if you've been blessed by this church, I just want to say it's this team right here. So can we just give a shout out? So incredibly grateful. Seriously, I'm really so blessed. That's right. If we could stand and just honor this team, like, please, it's totally worth honoring and deserving of this. And so, I mean, just incredible. So, and then you're welcome to have a seat. Thank you. And really, so, so blessed by this team. And again, for me, I get front row seats to see God's faithfulness through this team. And at this time, if you were part of the church before we launched, would you stand up as a part of our kind of original core team? Would you stand up? Want to get a chance to honor you guys and jump on up here. Come on up here. I see Robin. I see Anna. No, keep standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. Yeah. And so, you know, I just want to say the people that you're seeing here, they have crazy, irrational faith. Do you know how odd it is for you to have coffee with somebody and you're like, hey, we're going to start this thing that is not materialized, not visual. You can't see it. There's no website. There's no photo. And to believe in the impossible of like, there's going to be this church and we want to build this like multi-ethnic, diverse church that's going to reach people for Jesus, you know, in this region. And really, like, this team has said yes. And so I do want to honor, you know, people have said yes long before anybody else did. And so we really are standing on the foundation of your faith and your obedience and your willingness. And we just want to say thank you. Now, as you're standing, stay standing. If you're serving on a team here, I know we have kids ministry kind of rocking and rolling. If you're serving on a team, I'd love for you to stand up right now. We just want to get a chance to invite you on the worship team. And yeah, if you can just stand. On our hospitality, we have media, we've got alpha, we've got events, we've got prayer, we've got kidsmen. Am I missing a team? Production, alpha, yeah, prayer, yeah, stand on up. Go ahead, yeah. And really, again, I just want to honor really people who've said yes. And again, we stand on the foundation of this level of faith and this level of obedience. Now, one of the things, you know, with everybody standing up is I just want to invite you, if you're seated, I want to invite you to help build a church. Because so much of what we're seeing is really on the foundation of like people who've said yes to build them. So if you've been blessed by the church, I want to invite you. We can't be all that we can be without your gifts, your talents, your abilities. And we want to give you an opportunity to serve, use your gifts for a purpose that is far, far beyond you and far beyond what we just want to do in our own lives. And so if you want to make a difference in the lives of people, I want to invite you to take a step and to join a team. Really, this is one of the most tangible ways people experience the love of God. When people come on up and receive prayer in worship, people get a hug. All of this tangible ways you experience the love of God is because of this right here. So I just want to say thank you to everyone here who's standing up. Can we just give it up one more time for everybody?
Thanks for listening today. If this message has blessed you, would you take a moment to rate and review this podcast? It helps more people discover the hope of Jesus. You can check us out online at sevenhills.church. Our website is sevenhills.church. We're so grateful that you're a part of the story that God is writing. God bless and see you next week.